Gene, the last time that you and I spoke, you were helming a jazz trio, and I thought, wow, he's going to be a jazz composer. And it turns out life has been a lot more varied and interesting since a couple, 3 years ago.
Yeah. A good amount has changed. I've been actually writing quite a bit more than performing jazz, but it's been really wonderful, and had a lot of great opportunities to have works performed, and then taking up performing and writing in different genres. I'm part of a synthesizer pop group called Iverson in Chicago, which is doing really exciting work. I'm getting to do some arranging for this project, which is actually completely in a progressive rock realm. So just kind of all over the place.
Is Chicago your home base right now?
Yeah, I'm in Chicago.
Okay. And you're playing with a hot new group called Iverson. That's not named after the controversial pianist Ethan Iverson, is it?
No. It's actually named after it's a blog story. I'll try and keep it as short as possible. The lead singer in the group writes most of the core of the songs. He grew up in Elbert, Illinois, a small suburb of town, and they have this really beautiful graveyard kind of right next to the downtown area. And he and his friends would always play this game to see, you know, in the middle of the night, how close they could get to the scariest mausoleum without getting freaked out and running away. And on the name of that the mausoleum was Iverson. So a lot of the music is about kind of self-actualization and facing fear and things like that. The shortest way I can explain that.
Yes, no, it's a very direct personal metaphor. How wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me perfectly to ask what I've been wondering about with these opportunities you mentioned. These are commissions from, for example, major orchestras asking for your music. How do you run up to that edge and not turn away and say, I can't, I don't know how to do it?
I think what I'm coming to realize is the most important skill for me to have the kind of career that I want to is the skill to learn things. New things and be open-minded to new things and to try and absorb information as quickly as possible and say yes to a lot of things. I do run into a lot of situations that, you know, I'm asked, to potentially do things and I am, you know, between 60 and 80% confident that I know how to do that thing. And then I train myself to be closer to 100% through the process.
could you get specific for me and tell our listeners about some of these recent projects? What have you been most proud of, say, in the last year?
Sure. I think the thing I've been most proud of recently, I had a premiere of a work at the Ravinia Festival last month ago in June. It was a piece commissioned for a joint jazz trio and string quartet. So it actually is more in the realm of jazz composition, I guess you could call it. But it was performed by a really wonderful host of players, the Avalon String Quartet. Avalon String Quartet that is based in Chicago, and three wonderful jazz musicians, Illy DaCosta, Cliff Wallace, and Billy Test. And it was a really wonderful experience. It was the whole process was actually coached by Billy Childs, a wonderful composer, pianist, Rufus Reed, a wonderful bassist and composer, and Jimmy Green, who's an incredible saxophonist and composer. And it was through the Staines Institute up there. So it was kind of a kickoff concert that happened before the Staines program, which is this really great intensive for up-and-coming musicians.
Mm-hmm. If I remember some things about that event, you were among some other composers who were also asked to work with these ensembles. And in the final concert, they were all mentioned, but for the reviewer at least, yours really stood out. And that just must have been so gratifying to see in print, you know, some validation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't realize, but a reviewer came from the Chicago Tribune and wrote really nice things, which is always nice to see, but also just a little surreal. I definitely didn't expect to be seeing that. But the biggest thing for me, I think, was just the having a work that I really cared about just performed just so well with just amazing musicians who, you know, really took such care in playing it so well.
And this month you are headed off to London, England, to witness or oversee a recording of a piece of yours?
Yeah. So this is, I was talking about the Progressive Rock Project. So I was approached by somebody who has a pretty big vision for this album he's coming out with, which is it's kind of a cross between progressive rock and classical music or orchestral music. So he's having he had me arrange for this session 16 works of his that vary from kind of rock pieces that are going to have you know, accompanied parts by the orchestra to pieces in that genre that are realized and being played solely by the orchestra by themselves. And it's all being recorded at Abbey Road Studios, which is super exciting, by a really wonderful group of musicians. It'll be a 26-piece orchestra, a nice little chamber orchestra, and I'm very excited. The project is going across a couple different sessions. I was there in March doing a couple string arrangements for 18-piece string orchestra, and I'm going back this week to record a majority of the album.
Oh, my goodness. Abbey Road Studios.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Well, the music that you worked on for your loved ones, basically, this is the Merling Trio, which includes your mother, Renata Artman Kinnifick, and your father, Tom, will also be part of this concert. And you must have known Bruce and Susan Uchimura all your life. This takes you back. Speaking of Abbey Road, this takes back to another older world. The music you chose to set for them is from the 20s, 30s. That's the era of sophistication and humor.
Sure.
And great American songbook writing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a brainchild of Susan Uchimura to pick songs out of the Great American Songbook, and then we kind of collaborated on what that repertoire would be. And it's, I think it, what we came up with is really wonderful. It's a majority of it is based in kind of classic, what you would imagine to be in that songbook. So things like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Someone to Watch Over Me, really wonderful standards of that era. And then I also included a couple pieces that maybe push the boundaries of what we call the Great American Songbook. So I included a piece by Burt Bacharach, space in there. We did God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, which I think is just Brian Wilson and Burt Bacharach, I think, even though they're a little bit later than the era that we think about as the Great American Songbook, I think they're absolutely staples of what great American songs are.
And they kind of earned a spot, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Also we're doing a Duke Ellington arrangement of A Single Petal of a Rose, which is it's an instrumental composition, but it's really wonderful because it's kind of Duke Ellington's hand at writing a piece that sounds a lot like Debussy. So it's got this great merge of this impressionist style with jazz, which is just so perfect for their instrumentation and kind of the aim of trying to combine these classical and jazz styles.
Any final words of advice or suggestions for the performers before we get off the phone?
Performers, play your hearts out. I'm so excited that all this music is going to be performed. And please play your hearts out.